At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my colleague Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics column. He's based in London. And he's done us all the favor of finding something that's less wise, sometimes called dumber, than the tariff imbroglio we're now witnessing around the world. But I need Joe's help to explain it. It has something to do with the fact that the world forces us to spend money, but I'm not sure how I connect all the dots. Joe, a very good evening to you. As I understand it, there is intellectual Trumpism. I believe those capital I, capital T. And that involves a version of the world in which we need to be paid for issuing treasuries. How does it work, Joe? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. So this is basically a continuation of the conversation that you and I were having last week, which is about, you know, Trump's own personal views on trade policy or really anything else are kind of mysterious. And there's a sense that he's always making it up as he goes along. But there are people in his circle of economic advisors who seem to have a more comprehensive theory of trade in the global economy and how tariffs fit into that, which is not a good theory, but it is a more coherent theory. So I figured we should take it seriously. And last week, we kind of talked a bit about some of the flow of goods in this theory and, you know, how other countries suppressing their domestic consumption leads them to produce too much. And then they try to foist that onto the U.S. And now we need to talk about the other side of that, which is flows of capital, because there's another way that this circle around Trump can frame this argument, which starts with the capital side instead of the trade in goods and services. And so that argument is that the rest of the world has a voracious demand for dollars and especially for U.S. Treasury debt, you know, 10-year Treasury bonds and, you know, the 5-year or the 2 or any of the rest of it, because that is the world's safe asset. And so this argument runs the core of these economic imbalances that create the huge trade deficit is that because the global economy would judder to a halt if it didn't have enough of these safe assets to keep pace with global economic growth, the U.S. has to keep supplying more and more of them. And so that requires us to run a fiscal deficit in Washington so that there will always be new supply of treasuries hitting the market. And the flip side of this export of treasuries, which is another way of describing a capital surplus in the U.S., is that you have to have a trade deficit on the goods and services side. And so kind of their argument is that you can think about this ultimately as a financial problem where the rest of the world is demanding too many of these safe assets, and this has negative effects on the U.S. economy. And so we need to come up with a way of reducing that foreign demand for Treasury debt. And one way of doing that is to start charging at least some of the overseas holders of that debt a tax of some sort. You could call it a tax or an export tariff or a user fee. Potentially withhold some of the interest payment to make that debt less desirable, or to the way this camp would put it, to force the other governments to shoulder some of the economic burden that the U.S. is currently bearing as a result of us providing all of this treasury debt.
Let me see if I understand how we get to blame Japan, Germany, and China all at once. Japan, Germany, and China take our treasury notes and give us dollars. That means that we have all this money and we spend it on their product, and that gives us a deficit. Is that how it works?
Yeah, that's basically it. And I mean, you can add all sorts of little addenda and, you know, fillips onto it. I mean, one complaint is that this demand for treasuries has the effect of making the dollar artificially strong. And so that, you know, further hurts American exporters. But I think, John, that you have hit on a key element of this theory, which I think is also its key weakness, which is that all of the agency is ascribed to foreign actors. So this theory assumes that the U.S. bears no responsibility for its own economic policy decisions, that we must respond to foreigners' demand for treasuries by filling that demand. And I think that there's a lot of reason to think that that isn't true at all, and that misunderstands much of the causality. And John, you also hit on another problem with your description of this phenomenon, which is that the U.S. benefits from this because we benefit from all of the inward investment. You know, that provides us more resources, either for investing in our own economy or boosting our consumption. And that has turned out to be very politically popular, which is why we do this. And I think that that benefit, and also, you know, the fact that the U.S. does, you know, have some power over what the U.S. does here, are the two key facts that I think that the circle around Trump are very hesitant to grapple with.
All right. If the ambition is to discourage people from taking our treasury notes, what is the recommendation? How do we do this? Do we say no to them? Do we have some filter that they're not allowed to buy treasury notes?
Well, I think that you have different versions of this theory. The most expansive and also the vaguest says that we should start imposing some form of capital control in the U.S. To make it harder for foreigners to invest in America. And that would have the effect of reversing some of these trade balances that this crew find so perplexing. That is so unworkable that in practice, it's difficult to pin anyone down on a specific theory for that. But one discrete idea that you come up with is some kind of tax or user fee on treasuries specifically and foreign holdings of treasuries. And one particular target is foreign governments like China or Japan or others that accumulate treasury bonds in their foreign exchange reserves, because the theory is that the accumulation of these reserves are part of what feeds into this damaging cycle in the global economy that results in the U.S. running this unsustainable trade deficit. And so the idea is that if you can discourage that hoarding of treasuries, as these people would describe it, perhaps by imposing a user fee, withholding some of the interest payments that would ordinarily be due, you can sort of either discourage governments from buying treasuries for these reserve funds, or you will shift on to the foreign government some of the cost that the U.S. is said to bear here. Now, there are two obvious problems with this, one of which is that there isn't actually a huge amount of evidence in the economic data that any of this is happening. So it's very difficult to suggest that the foreign accumulation of foreign exchange reserves are what drives the U.S. trade deficit. I think that, you know, any connection between the two seems to be more or less random when you start parsing the data. And the other problem is that this kind of user fee would be a partial default, because that's what you call it when a debtor unilaterally changes the terms of a debt in a way that is, you know, detrimental to the creditor. So, the solution to this problem is really to create a particularly awful problem, which is to cause foreign holders of U.S. Treasury securities to doubt the full faith and credit of the U.S. government when they buy these things.
Is the thinking that this is witting on the part of the export-dominated economies, that would be Japan, China, and Germany, that they know what they're doing and that they've gotten together about this, or is it an accident of history?
Well, I think there's a view that oftentimes there are specific policy decisions at work. I mean, in the case of China, which I think is certainly the biggest actor here at the moment, it's clear that Beijing decided that the Communist Party regime wanted to follow an export-led growth strategy. And a consequence of this was that they ended up with these huge inflows of capital that they did not want to flow directly into the Chinese economy for various reasons. And so that ended up getting stockpiled into foreign exchange reserves. And it's true that there has always been a complaint against Beijing that they were keeping the value of the Chinese yuan artificially cheap relative to the dollar, and that this was creating trade distortions. I think that a lot of this is overblown, though, because, I mean, certainly China has achieved huge economic growth rates, but if you look in per capita terms, you know, they haven't entirely gotten rich from the strategy, and now we see that it is creating enormous problems for them with the imbalances that seem to be, for now, placing a ceiling on the capacity of the Chinese economy to grow any further. And you also can't really correlate the periods when they were accumulating foreign exchange reserves in treasury bonds with periods when the U.S. trade deficit was running out of control. You know, sometimes the Chinese have been accumulating reserves at the time when we had a relatively small trade deficit. And over the past 15 years, their holdings of treasuries have been falling pretty significantly, even as the trade deficit has been growing. So I think that this is just, you know, oftentimes you talk about the difference between correlation and causation in economics, but here you don't even have a correlation. And yet the people in the Trump circle are trying to build a really disruptive set of trade policies around this phenomenon that seems to be illusory.
And intellectual Trumpism, is it a thing or is it a fancy on the part of the Trump team, the MAGA crowd? Are they talking about this to other governments?
I think that you can definitely discern that this is active in those circles. I mean, some of these ideas have been promulgated by people who are currently within the Trump administration in various capacities, although they would sometimes claim that you know, they didn't fully hold to these ideas that they wrote about before they were in the administration. So I think that you can also see in some of the policy ideas coming from this circle, ideas that are consistent with these theories. So, you know, this notion that we should permanently have a 10% tariff across the board, regardless of what kind of trade deals we've negotiated with anyone else, that's consistent with the theory. When you have people like the Stephen Moran, who's the chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, a couple weeks ago gave a speech in Washington where he spoke about some of these perceived financial imbalances and the need to do something about it. I mean, that's certainly consistent with the theory as well.
Speaking to Joseph Sternberg, he's a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics. We're going to stay in London for life in London because there's a very discouraging headline most recently about the economy of the Great Britain. We think we have problems. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.